I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty good about where the Knicks are at here. I'm confident that the Knicks are going to advance. Obviously, we're looking forward to getting into this series, but I do think the Knicks are going to bode well against the Pacers this go-around.
I do, too. Is that a bad thing? We both think that. I feel good about this series. I feel good about this team because this team looks different than they did earlier in the year when I had some reservations. You know what's nuts about this, Sal? Like, the whole year, you think about the Towns move, the Bridges move, and everything that they've done, and the path they've been on this whole year for really every Knicks fan that's really invested in the team, it was mostly on the Knicks, but also, all right, what are the Cavaliers doing? What are the Celtics doing? Like, the Pacers kind of snuck out of nowhere, but I guess even though we knew they were good a year ago, but I guess in a lot of ways, you know, the symbolism is real. Like, the Knicks should have been in this spot a year ago if they didn't have some injuries. So the rivalry is deep. Reggie's going to bring the smoke. You know Brunson's going to be ready. You know the Pacers are good, but I'm with you. Like, I feel really good about this team.
And here's why I feel good about it. Look, we're obviously both Knicks fans rooting for the Knicks, but there is a difference.
But I didn't feel good about it in the Celtics.
Bingo. Exactly right. I didn't feel good necessarily in some spots last year or even against the Celtics this year. And by the way, we don't have to worry about the Cavs or Celtics. That narrative is in the past. It's in the rearview mirror. Now you look ahead, there are four teams left, 8 wins to go, and the New York Knicks will be champions for the first time since 1973. And before we even get to that, just right now, Eastern Conference Finals against a great rival in the Indiana Pacers who have had their number. I have two reasons for you before you give yours. Number one, for me, I do not believe Jalen Brunson will let the Knicks lose this series. So I know that it's going to be more than just Jalen Brunson. I've said it many times before, they can't win with Brunson playing hero ball. However, he will not let this team lose this series. He's embarrassed by what happened a year ago. He's frustrated, still bothered by getting ousted by the Pacers, even with the built-in excuses with the injuries. I don't believe Brunson's going to allow the Knicks to lose this series to the Pacers. That's number one. Number two, defense. The thing that we've been talking about with this team all year long, the thing that I was waiting to see what happens when Mitchell Robinson comes back to see how much better defensively they can be. They were tested early on against Detroit. You know, they've grown a lot here at BT over these first two rounds.
Yep.
Long series, you know, 6-game series against Detroit, hard-fought series. Same thing with the Celtics, even with the injuries. And the Knicks have had now those 12 games with Mitchell Robinson coming back and really coming into his own. Maybe the best that we've seen Mitch play, period.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense, not just Mitch, but yes, having Mitch back, but maybe more importantly, having Bridges on the perimeter specifically to quiet Halliburton in this series.
Listen, there's a lot of basketball reasons, and I'll give you my main one. And by the way, as you say, the Brunson of the defense, I'm saying, yep, I agree. Yep, I agree. So I'll give you something different. But, you know, what's really prepared the Knicks for this point is that they played so many different brands of basketball the last couple of weeks here by necessity. Like, they learned, and I think it accelerated their chemistry and their toughness and their reliance on one another. I think that's why I feel the best I felt about this team all year. And, you know, you look at the Pistons series where it was just physical, it was tough, it was just brute strength, it was a surprisingly raucous environment out there in Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, their fans were ready to go. So it was an up-and-coming team. We know they were going to have to deal with the Pistons for years to come, we would imagine. That was the first checkpoint. And I know that the Celtics, there was so many wacky occurrences. Obviously, Tatum going down stinks for the game, but it is what it is. You know, the Knicks back-to-back 20-point rallies. And we can sit here and say, well, and I believe this, you know, the Celtics champions from a year ago, you know, they couldn't shine Bird's shoes and McHale, and they couldn't. I don't even know that they could shine, you know, Paul Pierce and Garnett's shoes, let alone Havlicek and Bill Russell and all those guys, Dave Cowan. So it may have been like the quote-unquote weakest Celtics champion of all time, but the Knicks still had to find it within themselves to take the dagger and slam it in a champion's heart. So you got an upstart street fight, and then you gotta take out the champion. They are absolutely mentally ready, and that gets me to Cat. That's my guy. That's my guy in terms of you talk about Brunson and the defense, and I'm with you. I believe that he now realized, I'm not saying he's going to drop 30 and 12. That's not my point. It's the engagement. It's the word intention. You're going to hear that a lot. He came out the other night, and it was decisive. It was quick. It was going to the rim. It was making plays. It was, even though, you know, he missed a couple of bunnies, missed a couple of threes, he was locked in from the get-go. That's all I want to see. That's all I needed to see to have belief in this team to keep going.
And I do feel like, because we could talk about the inconsistencies in this group, it's not just because we're Knicks fans and we're rooting for the Knicks. We truly do believe in this group for the reason that we just laid out here. But you could also paint the other side of the picture. Hey, can you trust them? Because I thought that they were going to put away the Pistons in five. They did not. I thought without Tatum, they were going to put away the Celtics in five. They did not. They have not been good on their home floor. Those are still question marks here. But I do feel like, and maybe this is more specific to Cat, but also just in general with the team, where there were a lot of hurdles, if not, you know, literal, well, not literal hurdles, but the teams in front of them with the Celtics and all that, but maybe more so the mental hurdles. What's Bridges going to look like? Is he going to gel with this team? Can Karl Anthony Towns, you know, come through and do things the way that he did in game six? And now you've seen them overcome those proverbial hurdles, and kind of just, it feels like Bridges is as comfortable as he's been. It feels like Towns is as comfortable as he's been. They're talking about the open communication defensively. They know what they need to do. They've been now battle-tested and have come out the other end. So I also think that that's a huge part of it, their confidence level, BT, where, you know, hey, you can't beat the Celtics. You haven't beaten a good team all year long. But no matter what they say, that is, it's in their minds. They know it, especially that last regular season game against Boston where they gave them everything they had and they still lost. But now that they've beaten them and eliminated them, now that they went through what they did against Detroit, now that they're gelling together, I really believe this team believes more than ever. Like, they could say it and think it. Now I think they believe they can win it all.
I think you're probably right. I also think that they're smart enough to understand they've been dealt some pretty favorable circumstances here. You know, which leads us into, you know, additional belief that they could really mess around and win the championship. And again, I don't want to worry about the finals, but there's four teams left. The Knicks are one of them. So the reason why I was very reluctant, I would say three big issues here, very reluctant, not that I didn't want to, but I didn't feel it, very reluctant to stamp this team a legitimate NBA championship contender during the year. Number one, and I love Brunson. We all love him. We all respect him. But I do have a teeny weeny tiny reservation. Like, is he the absolute top line superstar that you win a championship because of? And I mean, that's a Duncan, that's a Jordan, right, that's a Magic, that's a Bird. That's that group. That's rarefied air. And I believe that he is, but that's still a slight question. The next one was, is the head coach a championship coach?
Right.
That's something that I've reconciled for and still do in my mind. And with Tom Thibodeau, the third one here would be about Karl Anthony Towns. Not is he tough enough, but is the second star, you know, is he good enough? Is he a Pippen? Is he a McHale? Is he a James Worthy? Is he one of those guys? And I don't know the answers yet, but the recent answers have trended far more favorably than I thought they would.
Think about it this way, though, because I don't disagree with what you're saying, especially the first one on Brunson. If we focus on him, like we've said this, you know, we all love Brunson here. I said I would never trade him for anybody else because I love what he does, what he means for New York. I love his mentality, but there are reservations about a smaller player being the alpha male, the dog, the best player on your team, winning a championship, right? That's been something that's been noted since Brunson has taken off. But look at where the Knicks are right now. There are four teams left. The Knicks are one of them. They have to be two more teams. So because of circumstances, well, like if you were to tell me the Knicks were going to beat the Celtics straight up, Celtics fully healthy with Brunson being the guy, that's where I'd be like, I don't know. But Celtics are out now for whatever happened. I don't look at the Pacers as a team that Jalen Brunson, I think the Knicks would have and should have beaten them last year. They should have beaten them last year even with the circumstances, but obviously they were so ravaged, they didn't. All right, you tip your cap, great season, Pacers beat you, whatever. But I don't think the Pacers are a team that I would worry about Brunson not being the guy. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
He's good enough on his own to be able to beat this team in a series. That's number one thought. Now, as far as the Western Conference goes and the NBA Finals, I don't know. Are Tibbs' weaknesses going to show themselves? There's two series to go.
So I understand.
Even those macro talking points and doubts about, well, can they really be champions? They have to be out the window now when you're this close and where there are no clear roadblocks in front of them.
Well, they're fair questions, though, because Carl Anthony Towns was at this port a year ago and played awful in the Western Conference Finals. Tom Thibodeau has been, he's had some really good rosters going back to Derrick Rose, and he's now getting into a territory where we will get, I think, some new answers on him. Same with Jalen Brunson. But the one thing that and I feel most confident of those three things, obviously, with Brunson being able to do it, the thing that I've seen, and this is great, like, this should really make the Knicks fan feel, I don't want to say overconfident, but really good about the prospects of the series. The Knicks have proven that they can win when Jalen Brunson isn't amazing. Like, he's had games, dropped 39 at home, where he's had some real good games, but the efficiency hasn't been incredible. He's not going out there shooting 13 for 19 and 4 for 5 from 3 and 8 for 8 from the stripe. Like, he's been, you know, there's been some volatility to his performances. 41%, 39%, 35%, 25% one game. He's had some stinkers. And here we are. The Knicks are still breathing. They're healthy.
Right.
Deuce is starting to flash. In terms of the bench, another concern. Obviously, you look at Mitchell Robinson. I mean, defensively, he looks nimble and quick and engaged. Listen, it's not about predictions. I can say this. The Knicks are ready to play this series. I have no doubt about
that. Who do you think, before we get to the calls here, 888-808-1019, who do you think's the best team left of the four?
The Thunder.
Okay, me too.
No question.
So that's kind of my point about Brunson, where I'm not looking at it as Western Conference NBA Finals yet. I'm looking at it in this series. In this series, I believe Brunson, even though he doesn't have to be at his best, to your point, to win, which is so great about the way that they're built now, where they have multiple guys. Cat could go off one night. It could be OG one night. It could be Bridges. It could be two of the three or four, whatever it may be. Josh Hart contributes. The bench contributes. And they should be fine. But Brunson in this series, I believe, will be the best player in the series, which will eventually lead the Knicks to a win. I don't know if I could say that against OKC necessarily.
That's why I'm rooting for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'll take my chance with our old buddies, because I don't think we could beat the Thunder necessarily.
Let's go Randall and DiVincenzo. All right, BT and Sal on the fan on this huge Knicks day.
Let's go.
Town Fair Tire reminds you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Adam starts us off in South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
Oh, now batting leadoff on the fan. Adam from South Jersey. What's up, guys?
What's
it's
up,
blue
buddy?
And orange, cloudy skies. BT, I've called every series so far this playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I said Knicks in six over Detroit. I said Knicks in six over the Celtics, and Bridges was going to be a key. That ended up happening. Knicks in six over the Pacers, and the key is going to be our friend OG Anunoby, and believe it or not, Carl Anthony Towns. I think that Towns is very confident against this team. He had a couple of big games against the Pacers this year, and that kind of confidence tends to bleed over when you feel like you could score from jump. And you guys just said something that's really key. Their defense has come to a different level now. I'm not worried about the Western Conference. I'll worry about that when we get to it. The Knicks are better than the Pacers, guys.
I agree.
A better team.
I agree.
As long as they play Knicks basketball, they're going to win this series in six. And listen, if they handle business in the Garden early, it could be five. I think they're that much better than any. Enjoy the game. Have a great day, guys. Go New York. Go New York.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I do think, BT, that the Knicks are the better team. Better team doesn't always win. But it is nice to be on the side of where it wasn't this way last series. It felt like, you know, first of all, they were not the better team. And second, they didn't have home court. You know, with the Celtics being healthy, it was just an uphill battle. Even within the series with the two games still on lead, it still felt like it was going to be a battle. So it's nice to be on this side of it. But it does not mean Knicks, I thought, were the better team against Miami a couple years ago. And Miami ended up winning that series.
Yeah.
This is a spot. Even last year, I thought the Knicks
were better. You're talking about the Melo? You thought that Knicks team was better?
No, the Brunson. Years ago, Brunson, Randall.
Yep.
After they beat the Cavs. That series against Miami, I thought the Knicks were the better team. They ended up losing that series.
Yep.
Knicks were the better team, I thought, last year against the Pacers. Obviously,
so
the injuries. But they ended up losing that series. That's why I do think they will right the ship and correct the wrong maybe from last year and get revenge, the ultimate revenge series. But just because they're the better team and have home court, that doesn't mean they're going to win the series.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. It just means that, you know, this is what we're thinking right now. And Adam's point about, and I agree with this, like, you know, he said literally, hey, if the Knicks play Knicks basketball, Knicks win. Well, understand there's another side to this. I know we're all wrapped up with the Knicks, and we're legitimately confident, maybe not cocky, but feeling good about the prospects. I believe the Knicks will win. You believe the Knicks will get to the finals. So first time we've said that, because I was worried about the Pistons. I said I said Knicks in six, and then I thought they'd get smoked by the Celtics. So we are feeling good about the series. But in the state of Indiana, they know they have a good team as well. And they know that they handle the Knicks fairly well. And they're saying on their radio shows, whatever it is, hey, if we play Pacer basketball, we're going to win. Like, I know we're confident, Pacers have some answers, and they've got a lot of depth. So, like, if there's foulish, this might be like a boring key and a cliche key. Honestly, though, the Pacers have more capable bodies than the Knicks do, all right? They can run 9. They could actually play 10 if they had to, right? And Kolek's not playing, even though I think he should, but whatever. That's a story for next year. So the Knicks aren't going to run out 10. We've seen Towns with foul issues. We've seen Brunson with foul issues. We've seen Mikal Bridges, Mitch Robinson. If the Knicks do have foul issues, that could be devastating, but I'm still feeling good.
Mario's on Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Great show. Well, I'm really excited about the Knicks. I agree with the last caller. I think the Knicks are going to win in 6. You know, and we got to give Brunson a little more credit. I believe he's in that area. I mean, this year he had, in Detroit, he had 4 games at 30 in a row and 7 assists. Guess how many people did that in NBA history?
It's 2,
zero.
Right?
0.
But I thought Jordan did it, too. Either way, I got you. Yep.
4 games in a row.
Yep.
Last year, 40 points, 4 games in a row. Second tied with Jordan and Bernard King, and number one was Jerry West. That's all-time numbers. Now, I'll leave you with one thing, and thanks for taking my call.
Got it.
You talk about not winning with a small guard. Guess how tall Curry is? 6'2".
Yeah, he's also the greatest shooter. He's also the greatest shooter the sport has ever seen, Mario, and thank you for the call. And when they're trying to minimize Jalen Brunson, think of it this way. Simplify it. Now, you and I had the argument about Tatum versus Jalen Brunson, who's the better player in the series. I was saying Tatum by far, but at the very least, it's debatable, and I still would side with Tatum, a fully healthy Tatum. You know, Jalen Brown, obviously a great player. The first round, we're talking about Cade Cunningham and his potential of being a great player or better player in the series than Jalen Brunson. I do not think, I know Haliburton, and I respect Haliburton more than others.
He's good.
He's got that killer that you love, but I think Jalen Brunson, clearly the best individual player going into this series, in addition to, I believe, the Knicks have the best team.
I agree. But I also think that whether it's 1 or 2 games, triple-double, you know, he's going to mess around with the Garden crowd. He likes to, you know, he's a cocky kid, man.
Yeah,
I think that's going to add a little spice here. I'm really excited for this. But it's not about guys. It's not about scoring points. We know that Jalen can score. But there are, I mean, I'm looking at the game log right now. All right, I'm not going to bombard you with numbers, but 41% shooting, 42, this is in a game, 42%, 31, 39, 25%, 45, 44. Like, you know, that's not going to cut it forever. Like, I understand, you know, we could sit here and say, Brunson dropped 29, and Jalen is the man. This is not to diminish him at all, but his efficiency needs to tick up a little bit. He cannot take so many shots. He's got to be less volume and more makes or... Yeah, like either shoot a little less and let the other guys eat, or keep shooting more but make more.
Right.
Like he's got to shoot better.
See, I still feel like, obviously you want that to be the case, but I still feel like they'll be fine in this particular, like I think you're going to need the Knicks to play their A-plus game, assuming they get past the Pacers here, to be able to beat a team like the Thunder. They're going to have to be on more often than not and play their complete A-plus game to win a championship. Not going to be able to back into that.
Mm-hmm.
With the Pacers, I don't think that Brunson needs to be perfect. I don't think the Cat needs to be perfect every single game. I think that, man, obviously you want to see that more often than not, certainly, but I think that they'll overcome some areas of deficiency because of the skill elsewhere that they have.
I think it makes sense. The other thing, too, is, you know, you talk about how the different series, like the aesthetics of the Pistons and the Celtics, very different styles have prepared the Knicks really for a lot now, and I think it's accelerated their chemistry. The other thing, too, is Miles Turner, we know, likes to take a lot of threes, so I don't love Cat out on the perimeter. It's generally how he gets a lot of cheap fouls, and I know Porzingis was awful this past series. He was sick, but when Porzingis was out there, you had him dancing on the perimeter, and even Al Horford bangs in a lot of threes, so I think that the Knick bigs are, you know, they're ready to go. Like they look the best they've looked all year.
Mitch, baby.
Yeah.
Mitch being
back. Yeah, good to have him back.
A couple of different layers here that we'll get into. We'll continue with your calls. We'll get into the baseball a little bit later on as well. 888-808-1019. Is home court actually going to be an advantage in this series? We better hope so, but we'll discuss that when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show. show at 1-888-EAR-POD-1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game one tonight, game two Friday night. Get home. What a way to get the weekend started. Yeah. Memorial Day weekend. Then Knicks game two. Then you have Sunday night, game three. So looking forward to it with all this stuff. I was just reading an article on the Post that I thought was pretty good where it was Joel Sherman, I think, talking to Piazza about dealing with the Soto stuff. I know you did a lot on the Soto stuff yesterday while I was out. Sure. I'll give my thoughts on some of that, and we'll get into the Mets coming up a little bit later. But it is all about the Knicks. And game one at home, they do have home court in the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's kind of been minimized with home court throughout the NBA playoffs. I don't believe that's going to be the case with this series. I really do think the Knicks are going to protect home court, and that's going to be the biggest key in them winning this series, which is why I can see them in five. What do predictions mean? I mean, Knicks in six, Knicks in seven. Everybody's saying that. Okay, so if I say Knicks in five, so what if it happens that way? But if just playing it out, I don't think the Knicks are going to lose one of the first two games at home. I know it seems easy to say that. Well, you split the first two, split the next two, win game five. I could see the Knicks winning both these two first games at home and getting a game there. I really think, BT, that home for the Knicks, that home court is going to be a huge difference now, the way that it's evolved over the first couple of rounds.
All right, so let's say if they do win the first two, do you then see them stumbling in Indiana?
I think they get a game in Indiana.
And therefore, it's probably a quick five-ish game series. Like that would set up possibly five games.
Now, by the way, Knicks in five does not, like, I think it sounds like, oh, well, they're going to dominate the series. But it does, like, every game could come down to the wire.
Yeah, you could win one game, 107, 104, and that's one win. You can, absolutely.
And with the Knicks, it probably will. I can't see them blowing out the Pacers.
Why not? They blew out the Celtics. Yeah, I know Tatum wasn't there, but I mean.
That's what I mean, a depleted Celtics team. I don't think you're going to see any blowouts. As a matter of fact, if I do think there would be a blowout, maybe be in, let's say, game three, Indiana. Knicks up 2-0, they go there, and then for some reason the Pacers find their rhythm, they're knocking down shots. Whether the series plays out exactly how I think or somebody else, that doesn't really matter, but I do think home court is going to matter, and you should. Like, it's become a thing where now it's just like, hey, well, you split 1-1, you go on the road 1-1. No, it used to be, you got these home games, you better be going up 2-0 before you go to their place. Yeah. I think that's how this series is going to play, at least from a Knicks perspective.
Well, they're pretty evenly matched for the most. I mean, just think about the Vegas odds. Knicks are what, plus 150? Pardon me, minus 150.
To win the series?
Yeah, it's not like they're minus 390 or minus tonight? 270. They were 4.5-point favorites the other night. Maybe went up a half point either way. I didn't check. I will. So, you know, Vegas is telling us they think the Knicks are slightly better. I tend to agree. Now, you tend to agree. Now, if the Pacers had the home court advantage, does that minus 150 drop a little bit? Does the plus side for the Pacers elevate? It might, but it's close. And when you have close teams, generally that's when home court's protected. Usually when you have a team that is either three-point reliant, like the Celtics were,
right?
Then like the home court and the traditional evaluations of the series can kind of go up in smoke because the three-point shots could obliterate any good basketball plan.
Right, but a tight game or, you know, between these two teams that are evenly matched, the home whistle as well.
Well, we hope.
The energy. The
Cats, hopefully Cats start getting a little respect here.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, you got to earn that respect. And the referees, much like the Knicks and the Pacers, watch every single possession of their previous series to match up against these teams. That's how they scout. The referees watch this as well. And I'm telling you, like, part of the burden on Karl Anthony Towns that I placed on him is that, you know, not that he has to earn, I mean, I guess on some level he's got to earn Knicks fans' respect. Mm-hmm. Like, that does matter for the Knicks and the teams here. But I think he had to prove to the referees that when you attack with a level of ferociousness, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Whistle-wise, when you're 7 feet and 280 and, you know, you double pump it like a two guard at the rim, you know, they're not going to respect that, dude. They're not going to blow the whistle, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, I know. We talked about it. Sometimes it could play out of control. I'd rather see him on the perimeter. Here's why, BT, I think the formula for the Knicks to win in five is realistic. If I ask you, we've already both admitted or said that we believe the Knicks are the better team. If the Knicks play their best game, everything's clicking for the Knicks.
Yep.
Do you think that the Pacers could beat them on a singular night?
No, I think the Knicks would probably win by double figures.
Okay, me too. So we both kind of talked about this before the show, saying that I think the Knicks are about to take off now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a team that's meddling. They're not on the decline. It feels like they're about to explode.
Yes.
And go nuts. So if I think the Knicks are going to, I agree with what you were saying. We were talking about that. If I think the Knicks are about to ascend and are hitting their, you know, peak here, or just starting to round out in a form, and are going to be playing their best games more often than not, like we saw against Boston in Game 4, like we saw against Boston in Game 6, if that happens more often, and I think that they're better than the Pacers, then I certainly think that's going to happen in the first two games. In other words, it would take a bad performance, a down performance for the Knicks to lose a game to the Indiana Pacers. I'm not saying that they're above that. I'm saying that more often than not, 4 out of 5, I think the Knicks are going to be playing their A game or close to it.
I don't know if I agree with that, because the one thing that we haven't quite seen enough with these Knicks is that everybody's playing their game. We've seen OG go from 29 points to invisible.
Right.
We've seen Bridges be invisible for three quarters, rise up and make some mid-range jumpers and defensive steals that seal the game. We've seen Brunson, you know, look like Isaiah Thomas, and then we've seen him kind of, you know, just kind of pound the ball and not a whole lot happening. We know the fluctuations with Cat, you know, but there's also fluctuations with this Pacers team. So, listen, there's going to be a night. He just seems to have that personality where Halliburton is going to kill it at the Garden.
Yep.
At the Garden.
Okay.
I know he's going to have a good game in Indianapolis, but he just has that extra, whatever that gene is, that he revels in being, you know, the source of whatever from fans. He eats that up. And his shot's gross, but it goes in. And his game is good. He can dish. He can handle. Like, he's going to be a problem, dude. He's a good player.
So you think they probably split the first two?
I would be more inclined to think that they go 1-1.
See, and it makes sense in accordance to what you're saying in that, well, there are things about this Knicks team that you can't trust. Based on what we've seen, that's why I think the majority of people are picking Knicks in 6, Knicks in 7, because we've seen the Knicks do this. One night OG scores 20 or 25. The next night he scores nothing. I'm basing it on what I believe is going to happen that we haven't seen yet, based on certain signs along the way, that the Knicks do start to click and do gel and play their most complete, most consistent series. If they do that, they will dismiss of the Pacers in 5 games.
Then I'm with you. Like, if everything comes together, this could be a quick one.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I do.
Based off what we've seen, it's hard to say that, but I'm projecting forward, saying like, hey, the Knicks are really now starting to click. And if they play like that, which I believe they're going to in this series, I think they're going to win the first two. I think they'll get one in Indiana, and I think they come back and finish it off in 5.
That would be incredible. The other thing, too, here is that, you know, talk about the Knicks journey here with Detroit and the battle, the bloodbath with those guys, and then, of course, the previous years with the Celtics, heart of a champion. I mean, you can make the case that the Knicks are just more battle-tested right now. Like, they have felt the energy of the playoffs more than the Pacers have. The Bucks, I mean, the Bucks were on borrowed time. That was their first-round opponent. And the Cavaliers were completely banged up. So do I think that the Knicks should be, in theory, even though both teams have had some time off, sharper and more ready to play, you know, the high-level intensity? I do. I think the Knicks emotionally and physically are more prepared to play this series right now.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Dylan is calling from Huntington. What's up, Dylan?
Yo, yo.
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 So this is what I got to say. You know, you're curious. You weren't sure if Brunson was a championship leading player like Duncan or Jordan. You know, at this point in the series, I don't think you can think of it any other way. Look at what they went through. They went through
Listen, so you're feeling the Knicks. That's awesome. So we're excited. We think they're going to win. But, you know, to think that nobody plays as hard as the Knicks, I think you kind of glossed over some of the other teams that remain. Minnesota plays hard. I mean, every team plays hard at this point. So we're in a good place. Like, you know, and I don't do this with myself. Like, I'm not the kind of person who says, oh, man, I feel good about this series. I should be nervous. No,
yeah.
I feel good about this series based on the evidence that's been presented to me by the Knicks team that I wasn't quite sure about who they were this year. I've seen them grow. I've seen them get healthier. And I've seen them get better. No, so let's go.
But when we both feel good about the series.
I know.
No, I'm actually not worried about that either, because there are legitimate reasons why I believe the Knicks are going to win the series. About his point about Brunson not being the top star, that doesn't matter now because there are only 4 teams left. The Knicks are one of them. Now, if they play the Thunder in the finals, the talk is going to be about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander being the best player on the floor, potentially. In this particular series, I think Jalen Brunson is the best player.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-
Nearpod One
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What I don't understand, like, I knew the weather was going to be horrendous today.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to be horrendous tomorrow. Like, you got there. It's not like it's the Orioles or the Rays who they're, you know, you play them with more frequency. Like, why wouldn't, and maybe they just couldn't logistically do it. Maybe they looked into it, and if they did, my bad. But if you're the Major League Baseball, Yankees, and obviously the Texas, why not try to play two yesterday?
Or play a game on Monday. No? Was or, Texas all
well, they oh, got yeah, in, they I think, Monday, I think yeah. they got in town on Monday.
Remember, because
Brett Boone got, I
the,
thought.
The Boone bros were doing some kind of podcast that I saw hanging out together. They said they went to dinner. So they were both off on Monday.
I knew they were off. Yeah. I didn't know if they got in Monday or, I don't know what time they got in Monday. That's the thing now. So they were doing a podcast, but they were ducking us. So apparently they didn't want any of the card smoke.
Well, Boone figured, Aaron figured, well, I finally beat the Mets in a series. You know, let me lay off. I don't want to go
let
get beaten
by Let me not press my luck.
Speaking
of Boone, he's the best. I'll tell you, he's just a gentleman. He's a class act. So I'm at the game last night with my little league, probably about, oh, God, maybe 100 parents and maybe 200-plus kids. We do it every year.
Good thing game one wasn't last night.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, fuck
kids.
Coach ain't coming. Yeah, coach watching the Knicks. And what we've done it for a couple of years, and the Yankees really, really, really do a great thing. So we get there early. We have a bunch of seats. We get hats, whatever. It's just going to a game. But then they let us walk the entire perimeter of the field.
Nice.
Now, there's security. Like the first year, like Colt, like, smashed into the outfield fence like he was Ken Griffey. Like, you can't do that. So, they guard that, and they guard the grass. But you're walking the entire perimeter from center field through past the visiting dugout, past the Yankee dugout, past, 314 in right field, and so on and so forth. And Aaron came out and gave high fives and took some pictures with the kids. And it was probably about 25, 30 minutes before first pitch. I know he was busy, but just a gentleman, really carved out some time. Kids loved it. Great night.
Classy guy.
Yes.
Hard not to root for.
Yep.
Unless you're playing the Mets. In the World Series and get somebody out.
You guys going to score a run up there yet? Or
We'll get to the Mets in a little bit. I was out yesterday. I had to have another. You know, I haven't had surgery ever in my life. And then in the last few months, I've now had three. I had the two eyes done. You had to get one, each eye, the cataract surgery. And then after I overcame that fear, I was like, all right. Had to have another minor procedure, but still surgery.
You finally got snipped?
Never. Never
really?
Do that.
Never?
No, because that's not that's not a necessary one. This is not
worth. Well, it's not necessary, but it does make life a little easier.
And I'm not scared anymore about the surgeries, although, like, there's always still that thing, like, I'm going under a little bit, a little uneasy. But
uneasy about not waking up?
Well,
don't worry, I'll hold it down for you, buddy. You good?
Exactly. Or something going wrong. I mean, you just never know
stuff. No, it's true.
And then they go over, you're signing your life away and all these papers. And
I'm like,
Jesus, you're making it. And then the nurse is like, oh, is there anything I could do to make you more comfortable? I'm like, yeah, tell me that this is not a big deal.
That's an open-ended question.
I was thinking that too. So the scariest part, though, was not the surgery.
Okay.
It was the drive home. My wife picking me up in the city and driving me home through the traffic.
That's right. That's right. Even if you have a colonoscopy, the wife has to pick you. Somebody's got to pick you up.
And I should have called Mitch in Fort Lee.
I saw Mitch last night.
At the game?
I saw him at the game. He's like, he's just omnipresent. We're walking with the kids like, BT, BT. He's like, we can meet for a drink in between. I'm like, and he actually didn't reach back out. I said I might.
Yeah.
I said, but I got my hands full here, Mitch. But I really wanted to meet him for a drink at the game, but I just couldn't. So you're driving home now. Well, the worst part was the way she drives or the fact that you were in the car with her?
No. It was the driving itself was a little.
She's not a good driver.
Well, not that. Although I'd rather be in control.
Me too. I hate sitting shotgun.
She does not like driving in the city. And that makes me nervous. And I could see it. I'm just like, just go here, trying to get in the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah, they don't know how to operate. Cutting in front of everybody.
And then the trucks. I'm like, I think you're a little too close to this truck.
God. I do the same thing, too. It's like you try to control from the other seat. It's ridiculous.
You can't do it. I know. Yeah, but that was the worst part.
If you drove better, we wouldn't have to.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808. 101.9. Back to the Knicks. Paul is calling from Queens. What's up, Paul?
I'm glad everything went good with your surgery and everything.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
No, of course. I mean, the last caller you guys had, he really made me laugh. Typical Knicks fan. So confident. I mean, I think this is going to be the best series of the playoffs so far. They're so they're so evenly matched. You got Turner and Pascal for Cat and Mitchell, and then you got all the wing guys on both teams, a bunch on both, and then mm-hmm. you got the two stars in Haliburton and Brunson. I think this goes seven, and whoever, I think there's gonna be a guy that just is balls. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's going to be somebody that maybe weren't expecting.
How about Deuce?
But I think this goes seven, and it's a really evenly close. If it's physical, I gotta edge the Pacers.
No
like
way.
Really physical.
No way.
I got to. I have to, just because Brunson won't be as effective. If Brunson is able to be, if Brunson's getting to the foul line, he's driving to the rim and everything, and he's playing free, then I gotta edge the Knicks. But if they put the clamps on Brunson even a little bit, I don't know. I have to edge.
Well, I mean, if he doesn't play well, then the Knicks are going home. And thanks for the call, though, Paul. Appreciate that. I'm trying to determine what you know. Like, if the refs let them play certain physical style, or if Brunson just doesn't play well? Because if they let them bang, advantage Knicks.
100%. Well, this isn't the Pistons here. The Knicks already got past that test with that defensive-type mentality and trying to put the clamps on Brunson. There are no clamps you could put on Brunson. You may be able to slow him down for a game, and then he's going to adjust. We saw with the Sixers a year ago. You saw with the Pistons this year. You heard about it with the Celtics. Oh, look at Holiday defending Jalen Brunson. I'm convinced that there isn't anybody singularly that is going to stop Jalen Brunson throughout the course of a series. Maybe throughout the course of a game, you can make it more difficult on him, which then is going to make him get the other teammates involved, which he now has and has to trust, and I think he is trusting them. Come on. It's not going to be a physical series from the Pacers standpoint. I wish it was more physical. To me, that would favor the Knicks.
I do think they have a great coach. Rick is...
Yeah, he's a tough coach. I like him.
He's a champion. He's great. He's very much the... You know, when Bird was coaching there back in the day,
yep.
he was Larry's offensive guy. Like, he's just a very smart, shrewd offensive mind. And it's interesting because that's Tom Thibodeau's background, the exact opposite defensively.
You give the Pacers the edge in a coach?
I do. I think Rick Carlisle's a better coach. Doesn't mean I'm not going to referendum on Tom. Like, there'll be time for that. I'm not trying to turn that into now. Who do I think is the better coach? I do think Rick is slightly better. I think Rick is great.
See, and I also think that Tibbs, the minutes and the way he uses the guys in the regular season, I think that's going to play a huge part in this series where the Pacers try to wear teams out.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks aren't going to get worn out by anybody. They're ready for this.
Yeah, I got a crazy Rick. You know what? I got to save it because we got to stay on top. I got a crazy Rick Carlisle story for you. I got to tell you at some point today.
All right,
it's hysterical.
We'll get to that. Also, I have a Reggie Miller story that I want to share.
Our buddy Reg.
Yeah, you heard Reggie making the rounds a little bit yesterday on Instagram. We'll play some of that, and then I'll tell you my little story with Reggie Miller, as well as the calls. We'll get to Soto and the baseball stuff later on as well.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at 1-888-EAR-POD. Pod 1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.